Is that the anime dropouts? What are we learning today?
Hey, wake up!
Hentai is amazing.
Wait, I have to do how many of these things?
Any wish?
Yeah, like Ray J, just one wish.
Wait, I caught me off guard.
It's fine now. Why? Because Anime Dropouts is here.
I've been getting into recently.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, it's recording.
Oh, okay. What's up? Yeah.
I'm loving these tubes of M&Ms. It just brings me back to my childhood. Like this sound, like that. Ooh, pop.
Are those the mini?
Yeah. And then you just get a little sniff and close it back up. It's like a drug. Oh, yeah. But you know what else is a drug?
What's up?
Anime. Ooh. All right, guys. Welcome to Anime Dropouts. We are here for another episode, and this is going to be the spring first episode review, or first set of episodes review.
Nice,
My name is Tin Dang, and I am joined by my co-host,
Joey,
as always.
Mint. Oh, hello, everybody. It's Joey Mint. What's up?
All right. And I've been getting into a lot of manga recently. I'm trying to catch up a little bit of Demon Slayer reading and Beastars and Vinland Saga, since those are going to be animes that are coming out this year.
Wait, Beastars and what?
Vinland Saga.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Nice.
But yeah, what have you been up to?
Finally got to start Golden Wind of JoJo.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's, I think there's about like 8 episodes left. That's this recording. And, you know, so finally just read, like, watching it. That's the thing.
I've got to find some time to just sit down and start it all at once. Because I'm missing out on all the good memes, the Dio walk. Which is pretty recent.
It's actually kind of funny too. There has been memes within, I guess, the community, but like of the manga, if you read the manga and stuff, just because, like, simple history, I think, or it's funny history. It's just that I think one of the main subbers, I guess, for manga before translators was this was this, like, Chinese. So there's like a lot of, like, you know, mistranslation that kind of became
so
that's another funny thing.
Nice, that's cool. All right, it's been a pretty good, I mean, we haven't missed that much because we've had a bonus episode last time, so if you guys enjoyed that, let us know.
Please let us know.
Yeah, but for now, let's get into the spring 2019 episode review, and let's start off with some news.
By Anime Dropouts.
All right, cool. First thing, this is actually really nice. NBC Universal Entertainment Japan, they released a catalog of anime songs just on Spotify. So a lot of songs that haven't been out available, I guess, without pirating, of course, are now available on Spotify.
Okay, maybe it's just a sign of the times for me because I'm an older gent. So Spotify, I never really... I thought Spotify was just, I don't know, like a kind of like a YouTube for just music, right? Like people just upload whatever.
Right. You can upload music, podcasts, audio dramas, books, I guess.
Oh, that's why we're on Spotify.
Yeah, that's why we're on Spotify. We're a podcast.
Okay. Well, okay. Oh, so I thought like Spotify was a lot of indie music people.
Yeah, indie artists can upload their own music. You can make playlists and add them as well.
But don't you have to subscribe to Spotify? Or
The free version does have ads, but Spotify Premium takes out those ads.
Oh, okay, so Spotify is a YouTube for music.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
now I know.
Now you know. Cool. All right, next up, Konosuba Movie is going to be out on August 30th.
It's going to be a movie?
Yeah, movie and hopefully another season.
Aren't they having that like a anime with the isekai?
Oh yeah, Isekai Quartet. It's kind of like an isekai within an isekai. So characters from, I guess, isekai animes will be together in like a classroom setting.
So that classroom is an isekai.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to interject.
Anytime.
Did you like Konosuba?
I did like Konosuba. I feel like it's funny, but I really adore the characters. Like, they're all not perfect, of course, flawed, but
I think that's like the charm, right?
Yeah, there's a charm within it.
Okay.
And one of the animes coming out, I think this year, Granbell, the original anime with character designers, director, and I think a screenplay writer or something like that. The first 10 minutes are actually available on YouTube. It looks kind of like a 2D mecha. It's actually really cute, but
Granbell.
Granbell, yeah. It's really interesting. It's non-CGI action, which I, you know, you always seem to appreciate. All right, and another anime, Vinland Saga. This manga has been going on for 10 plus years now, but it seems to have a pretty dedicated following.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, it's made by Wit Studios, which is a subsidiary of Production IG. And Production IG, you guys know for recently, Haikyuu, Psychopass, Diamond No Ace.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff that they've done. There's a lot more stuff. I don't know why.
They've been around for a long time.
Can't name things on top of my head. Oh my gosh. We're going to hate me for this. What's that anime with the soldiers with the red eyes, but they're like Nazi looking?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right? And I know this anime came out probably during the 2000s, early 2000s, if not 2000 itself. But the soldiers look like that.
Okay.
And there's an anime about... It's during... God dang it. Yeah, that's it. That's... Help me out, guys. I really
if you guys know, email Joey.
Or just email us. Yeah,
yeah, email us at animedropouts@gmail.com.
I feel like it's like Wolf or something.
Yeah. I mean, let's not dwell on it too long because we got to get back to Vinland
Saga.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, guys. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right. So Vinland Saga is going to be 24 episodes. And the setting is kind of like in Europe with more Vikings and Norse, I guess, history tied into it. The animation actually looks very much like Attack on Titan.
Okay. Yeah. Same company?
Yeah. This one's Wit Studios. Okay. So under Production IG. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be pretty good. Coming out in July, so look forward to that.
So the manga's been going for 10 years, huh?
Yes, 10 years. Pretty dedicated following, actually.
You know what it's about? Is it just that? It's just...
I am going to start it. Reading it, at least.
Cool.
Okay. And the last one, I showed you a preview of this, and you were laughing at its noir style with... Huh? Guns Life. It looks like a detective, and he has a gun for a head, so...
Yeah, so, but you said he's a gun.
He is a gun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just the teaser, I guess you could say.
Right.
Totally got me so goddamn curious. That thing looks so, it looks so cool, and I couldn't stop laughing at the idea.
All right. Yeah, the
so
premise
let's
is
get into unbelievable and impractical, animes, but I want to see where it goes.
Let's start off with Carol and Tuesday, which has been such a fucking surprise because I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah, it goes for me. And I'm the type of person that really likes a lot more action-oriented anime. And this was such a breath of fresh air.
Right, cute girls singing and forming a small band together. I would not have expected that.
I mean, it's not like I listen to a lot of music, but I didn't think, you know, the typical, I guess what they call it, the indie white girl, like, voice and R&B, I guess.
That's it works together somehow.
It works. Well, it's cute. It's fucking cute.
Yeah. And I wanted to actually add a couple of notes to it. So this one's under Studio Bones, so you can expect the animation to be super amazing. And the music so far is really fun and paying attention to all the small details, like how the characters move and travel, mm-hmm. like skating around, picking mm-hmm. up things. Like the owl clock animation, it's all really awesome.
I think I was like watching the first episode with you, and there was a moment where Tuesday opened up her guitar case, and this little, it's a quick, probably half a second cut of her opening up one of the clasps of her guitar case, and it looked so beautiful. And I was like, what the hell? Like, there's so much effort in that little tiny shot.
Yeah, and I'm like really liking how bright and colorful everything is. It's a little bit of change of pace.
Yeah, definitely. I think that style is pretty nice.
All right. So it follows two unlikely characters. Carol is an orphan that works at a daytime job at a burger joint, although she does play keyboard and can sing like fucking amazing. And Tuesday seems to be, I guess, like kind of like the rich girl, but she doesn't seem she doesn't seem overly pretentious or anything.
Right. Yeah, she looks like Lily from Tekken, but doesn't act like even their clothes, the dress that she wears is very Lily-like, but you know.
Yeah, and she runs away from home with nothing but a suitcase and a guitar, and the suitcase gets stolen.
Yeah, and that's pretty quick in the episode there. But yeah, definitely, you're right. I think the colors, and it's from all of the animes I've been watching, how they, it's almost kind of like, in certain scenes, it feels almost like the colors are very, almost watercolory, I think, to me. You know, it has like a particular shade to it that actually makes everything else stand out. And just sometimes some of the lines aren't like perfect, which kind of really gives it, like, I don't know, it's just, like, the color palette is just feel good.
Yeah, it's
like
really summery. Apparent in the opening too, right, with the sketch style.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost watercolory.
Maybe that's what Mars is supposed to look like.
Mars in the future. Oh yeah, this is actually set in Mars in the future, where AI kind of like produces everything. So even the music, just straight up EDM, which is hilarious.
I feel like robotics robotics is part of daily life. But I think what they're like focusing on here is the fact that the music industry pretty much been taken over by EDM robots.
DJ Art Gun.
Art Gun. That's, oh my God. I'm not like a connoisseur of music. I'm not really like, I don't listen to a lot of music, but I don't listen to much EDM as much as people do now.
Right.
I think it's not my steez, but that's why, yeah. But I mean, you know, this is cute, but like, you know, the type of music that Carol Tuesday makes is not my thing, but like, God dang, like the characters are so.
It's very endearing.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
And the continue.
Oh no, you got it.
Okay, because like they seem, it's not an anime about like the chosen ones, and not everybody is like, you know, a fighter or like an amazing like powers. It's just two girls just trying to be musicians. You know, like it's just really cute, and they have like an Instagram in the show that they actually update, I guess, along with the show, like for real, that like you guys could follow. And it's just, it makes it so much more adorable.
Yeah, like the pictures they actually take show up on the Instagram, and you can follow it at @Carol_and_Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't have a profile picture. And it's that. Like, there's another one, because I was looking for it. It's like, the one that says like Carol_and_Tuesday_official, and that's not.
I think someone was just trying to hop onto the bandwagon.
Yeah. And it's her name, Carol, is with an E at the end, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of extra notes. So they actually held the production company actually held a competition to see who would end up being the singers for it. And Tuesday's going to be played by Celiana Ann. She's the indie singer, and the R&B singer that plays Carol is NyBR.xx. And I, from the Facebook bio, it seems she's part Jamaican and anything else. But she does seem to have like a lot of fans in Saudi Arabia, which is kind of cool.
It looks like it, yeah. I mean, so supposedly someone said something that, or like one of the comments I read that like she, I guess the singers, like supposedly either one, Arabians just really like anime, or two, supposedly like the singer or one of the singers of the songs with the opening or the ending is Arabian or something.
Yeah, and another cool thing is that they do have a lot of Western influences. So they'll mention artists like Bruno Mars, Bruce Springsteen,
right.
The Banksy,
like the half, paintings,
half destroyed painting.
Yeah, like those are kind of funny. Yeah,
yeah. And someone on Reddit actually made a Spotify playlist of all the inspirations of the songs, including the songs from Carol and Tuesday. So if you look up Angie on Spotify playlist and like Carol and Tuesday, you'll find it.
That's kind of.
And if it's hard for you, we'll put the link up.
Yeah, because Angie's also a character in the show.
Oh yeah, Angela, Angeline, or something like that.
Oh, Angela, yeah.
Yeah, and but this one's Angie, A-N-G-Y.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But yeah, okay. And we also have something new, too. Okay. Every time we're going to give this a rating out of 7 Dragon Balls, of course. And our score is going to change depending on how we progress further. But for now, I'm going to definitely give this a 6 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Dang. I guess this is one of my guilty pleasures, dude. I'd summon Shenron. I'd summon Shenron for this anime.
You would summon Shenron?
Yeah, dude. Oh, I think, I honestly, I remember you talking about it in one, like, I guess previous podcast, and like, hey, we're going to check this out, blah, blah, blah. And I saw the trailer and I'm like, dang, I'm not going to fucking enjoy this watching this anime. And like after today, just watching the first 3 episodes, I'm enthralled. I am really already invested in Harold and Tuesday. And how, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe just be going softy now. Jesus. But like, it was really cute. So yeah. Shenron level, dude. I might, Shenron right. level, dude.
Okay. So if you guys do want to check this out, unfortunately, it's only available in Netflix Japan so far. I think USA is going to do a full release like all at once. So you would be able to binge it. But for now, let's see. Post-apocalyptic subs will be doing the fan sub for it. So that's all I have to say for that. You got to do the rest of the legwork for now. Sorry.
But it's so cute. It's worth it.
Very worth it. All right. Now let's move on to a pretty anticipated series, One Punch Man.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess first impressions for you.
Okay. So definite worries going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Okay, I'll be honest. Like, I think for the concept of One Punch Man, like, the story is there. But I think now that, like, 3 episodes is out, honestly, the problem, the animation doesn't really fit with the appeal of what One Punch Man is, I think, right? I think the whole craziness of, like, the extreme highs and the extreme lows of like the art style was part of, I guess, the story and tone of what One Punch Man was supposed to be. But now when all of the animation is fairly flat or even, you know, like very basic, I guess, it lost that appeal. But even the opening song isn't as
not as bomb as
Is it because is it Jam Project? It's not them, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's there's no craziness. It's like the story is still fun because it's still One Punch Man, but man, like that appeal of like, I mean, that's what I think.
Okay.
It's honestly a disappointment.
Yeah. I think. Okay. Well, for me, I know that the story's there, the humor's there, and the animations are pretty contrasting during the high parts, like when Garou fights Tank Top Master. That was pretty good animation. And then there's like some, I guess, jarring scenes, I guess, from the JC staff style animation when Genos fights G4, which is the robot from episode 1.
I mean, I think there's some good animation, like really. I mean, I'm pretty sure I went, ooh, like Genos versus Speed of Sonic Sound. Speed of Sound Sonic. Oh my god, I don't even like, there's really cool. It's just that there wasn't enough in the first 3 episodes. Like, and I feel like the story like moved really, really quick. Right?
Yeah, I feel like I think just from memory they're doing, I guess, 2 chapters at least per episode or something like that. It's pretty fast paced compared to season 1.
Because, yeah, like, it's just, it felt like maybe the pacing. So, do you know where they're going with this season? Like, where is it going to end up on? Like, do you know?
So far, I think it's 12 episodes, so I don't know how far they'll get. But I do think that they'll be trying to set up Garou as kind of like the main season heading towards the future.
Like, he's going to be in another season, or he's going to be like the end of the season?
Most likely into this season and probably the next season if they do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know anything. I think maybe I read... Wow. I don't know. Okay. I can't say spoilers. But yeah, like, I just think that, like, the story will always be there. It's just that... Ah, man, dude. Like, I feel like it let the air out of the balloon, you know, kind just of feeling. Bit. Right, because I really do think it's part of the tone, like of how serious something could get. Like I think that's part of the humor. Like, you know, like in one frame it could be like super super serious, but at the time it does like doesn't mean anything. Like, you know, like type of drawing it's or art style, and yeah, when everything's kind of just compounded into like a very neat spectrum of what you would expect from JC stuff. And I'm not saying that's bad. I think, you know, certain animes good, like, because like Shokugeki makes sense to me. I like it.
Yeah, JC staff did a good job with Shokugeki, mostly because it works well with their style.
Yeah, but One Punch Man, definitely it's not the type of anime that would,
I mean, not focusing on the animation too much. Mm-hmm. I do really like in the story. I love how King is kind of like a different foil to Saitama,
right.
And I like that his heartbeat is just him freaking out, but everyone thinks it's the King engine.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. True. Okay. So I don't want to like focus on that, but like I said, I do think that's part of the tone, but like the story, man, like it's cute. Like I think I'm pretty sure maybe in the manga, or I don't know if I read it or my memory is weird. Like I know the first episode, but like how it, I think, came off in a manga that was a little more like touching between like King and Saitama, when he like kind of admitted what happened or something, like how he just happened to be, I don't know, there when Saitama would just beat all these crazy level high monsters.
Right. And even though he takes the credit for Saitama's victories, he's not mad at him or anything like that.
Yeah. Cause like Saitama just wants to be a hero.
Just a hero for fun.
Right. I like it.
Yeah, I do like how Garou is kind of like a foil to Saitama, but in a different way. Like, they're both aiming towards something through, I guess, continuous improvement. But Garou actually enjoys fighting, and Saitama's the one that becomes bored of fighting.
Right, right. And that's why it's kind of cool when Saitama would ask King, like, hey, why did you stop fighting? Why did you run or something? Did you just get bored?
Right. He was hoping that there would be someone that feels the same way he does.
Right. But in the end, it's just
thing. So overall, I guess final thoughts is that there will never be an animation studio that matches that level of quality, because it wasn't just a Madhouse production. It was Madhouse plus a lot of working freelance artists that came together. It was basically a perfect storm that did season one. So we'll never get there, but the quality of the story for One Punch Man is still there for me. So I think I'll still watch it.
Yeah. So what would you rate it?
Right now, I can't say that it's perfect.
Right.
But so far, I would give it a 4 out of 7 Dragon Balls, because I do enjoy it. Comedic parts are still fun. Right. I think the gag between, I guess, like Saitama's seriousness and I guess everyone else's kind of like reaction to him is still an enjoyable part for me.
Okay. So I'd give it 2 androids out of a cell. Out of a perfect cell. Okay, I feel like that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. I'd still watch it, though. It's not like I'm not going to watch it, because I still love One Punch Man.
Yeah.
So they got that right. So.
All right. And the next one, Ufotable's love story, Kimetsu no Yaiba. And I am really enjoying this. The art style, it's very Okami-like. The animations
the Sumi
are
kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, you don't really get to start seeing that until, I guess,
I guess these styles kind of like almost like umekiyo. Is that the word term for it?
No, you're talking about
like
the 17th paintbrush?
Century, Japanese style.
Sumei.
Oh, sumei. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but you don't really see that unless he starts using the powers, right?
Yeah, and we're getting near that around I guess end of episode 3 and
right
eventually foreshadowing episode 4, which is kind of I guess an exam that they're going to take. Every shonen needs an exam arc.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Holy crap, you're right. I didn't even think about that. That makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, but definitely check it out. So,
like, you know what it feels like? It feels like Blue Exorcist.
Okay.
Like, just with a katana instead of a Chinese sword.
Yeah, the theme is still pretty similar.
Right. But just, like, the feel of it, too. Like, how... I mean, you know what? It's kind of funny. I guess they probably used era of time in Japan because like they don't have a lot of characters at all, just because of the fact of like how things were back then, you know?
Yeah.
But still, I think there's just some weird, like, you know, I guess if we're talking about it, right? I feel like it's and within like one episode, they glossed over 2 years, right?
Oh, right. The training arc. Yeah, move by that super fast.
And the fact alone, like, your sister didn't wake up for 2 years?
Mm.
Well, because the last time, it was kind of funny, too. There was a one scene where he was training. Then he was like, I haven't seen my sister in 6 months. I was like, dang, that was like literally 5 seconds of story. Then you... like 6 months has passed. I was like, oh shit, okay, what now? Oh, she hasn't woken up yet. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah, I mean,
then
I guess
a year and a half happened again. I was like, whoa, like what the hell.
Yeah, I feel like there are positives and negatives to that, because you can't keep a training arc around for that long.
Yeah
just to advance the story. And I feel like, I guess with their budget, Ufotable's putting a lot of money into it with their tax evasion.
yeah.
But still, it's a very endearing story. It seems like, I guess maybe it's going to be towards a battle shonen, but I like where the direction is going right now.
Because they're not really focusing on his, like, his connection with his sister. I think it's more of like a tool for the story, because like literally 2 years has passed, and like I think he set off for the exam, and I think they mentioned, I don't know if it was something there, but it was kind of like hinted that you know, that's a trick. Like, that's not like there's time passing to go to the exam. The exam lasts for a week, you know. And once he finished that, he's gonna trek back home, and his sister not awake yet. Like, Christ, dude, it's been like 3 years, you know. I just thought that was quick, just quick, and you know, that's. I feel like maybe I get it that he's trying to do it for his sister, but they didn't really focus on their. I don't know if it's different in the manga or anything. Is it a manga?
Yes, it is a manga. Okay. I think that there's more than 130 chapters out so far.
Okay. But yeah, so it's cool, I guess.
Yeah. Artwork's amazing. Action and CGI are pretty much top-notch, especially the fight between Tanjiro and Sabito, the kid with the mask.
The kid with the mask, right?
Yeah, the animation was done really well. I think when they blend in the CG and non-CG, like the snow or whatever, it works out really well.
Yeah, you know, Quotable is really, or UFO table, I don't even know how to say it, but definitely with their Fate style stuff, where they really love snow covered scenes and just have, and moving that 3D, you know, space around, like the 2D, like animation. It's a really sick combination. They abuse that.
So, story wise, I really enjoyed so far. Animation and character design. It's really, I guess it's refreshing, but it also reminds me of Dororo a little bit.
Yeah.
However, I'm really enjoying it. I feel like this is kind of like the next generation of shonen. Like, right. Boku no Hero, this, they're doing really well, so.
Yeah, I definitely think this is probably it's a top anime this season.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, if everything goes well, I'm pretty sure there's going to be like easily the most cosplayable anime that you can do for the next few cons this year.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it has a potential to be anime of the year.
Yeah, it definitely has a potential to be anime.
Because right now, I think winter 2019, I really liked Promised Neverland. I feel like if it stays in its quality and story, it could match up to that or more.
Did they ever say for a second season or that or no?
Oh, yes. Second season is confirmed for Promised Neverland. And it's actually interesting that it was announced for a second season during its first season run, which is kind of unprecedented. It hasn't been like that for a while. So,
okay, yeah, that probably Neverland could also be animated.
Yeah, it's very well received on Shonen Jump.
I don't know if Carolyn Tuesday would be, but it feels so good. So yeah, that's just what I'm saying.
All right, so for rating, I will give this. You know, I'm just gonna say it. I love this show so far.
Right.
I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 5 ball gags or wooden ball gags.
Hey. Wow. Okay. Well, I'll. You know. Okay. 4 out of 5
nice.
Ball gags. For
me. Okay.
Like, it's high up there. I really do think it could be like anime of the year.
Definitely. All right, and next up is actually Dororo, which we're continuing along with Shield Hero. Although for today, we're skipping out on Shield Hero because we watched, I think, 7 or 8 episodes in a row so far.
Of stuff today, yeah. Of different anime, so yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and
we're recording at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's 2 in the morning. We've been here since like 12.
Yeah, we've been here at the studio for working other things.
It's all good though. So far, I have no idea where the direction. Well, I understand the format of Dororo so far, where it's like traveling, seeing different villages. But I
kind of like a monster. It's a very classic style of like Monster of the Week.
Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm taking every episode in, all I guess different. I guess seeing the different types of demons. And all the different characters that get introduced.
It's a very, very easy way of making an adventure like anime because, like, obviously, since every episode is in its own storyline, like, you know, storyline that feeds into like a major storyline, but you could kind of like skip an episode or two and you wouldn't miss anything.
Right. There's a lot of like moving parts to play around with. And on episode 12, we see this. I guess not a demon lady because she's actually human, but this woman that's possessed by this stone spirit that cuts off people's faces.
Right. Yeah, because of a demon that forced her to do that. Actually, if you notice it, there's like a theme now for this. Would this be second season where we're going?
Yeah, we're counting it as a second season.
Okay. So in the first season, the lines were drawn very clearly, like human versus demon, right? Then at the end of the season, you notice that, so what if like now you're seeing humans that are a little bit demonic or demonish, or like they have like demon tendencies. So now at the past 3 episodes that we've seen the second season, it talks about, you know, what makes a demon.
Right.
Right. And like, and now he's meeting like the gray line, you know, in the in between of like humans that act like demons and
right.
And like the metaphysical. They're not really demons that act like human or something. Or like they're more human than.
Yeah. I mean, humans are capable of bad deeds. And I feel like with demons that I guess aren't too completely evil, it's almost like this weird symbiotic relationship that is self-contained within each village, which is like, I guess not mind-blowing, but it's interesting. I really like it.
And you see it too, like the different colors, like, cause I guess the colors that they were looking at, like if you were like completely pure, you have like this green light, like this green aura, right?
Right.
But now when you're human, you've just, I don't know, just been living your life. You're gray or like that white. Then obviously demons are pure red, but what about those people? Like, because even Dororo, you see in a lot of scenes too, or certain scenes where if he's like looking down and you see part of his body, like it's tainted red, you know, it's not fully, you know. So then he starts seeing other people that like have that white light but are tainted red,
right?
Right. So like, oh shit. So what are they? Right. Because now, now because of all of that. There's a lot of times where Dororo asks like Yakimaru, like, hey, what is this guy? Is he a monster? And now like Yakimaru usually like says like, I don't know.
Yeah, which is, I don't really know, cool. Or he's not a demon, not sure. At least, or yeah. Like he gives you a negative answer, but he doesn't like confirm if it's evil or if it's good.
Yeah, like he doesn't know. Like he never, or that's at least for the first time for us as viewers, seeing it through his eyes. There's like colors like gold now, you know, and like blue. Like what the hell is blue, or what the hell is gold, right? So it's a really cool thing. I guess maybe gold is, you know, just because it's like a shade of red, maybe, or something. I don't know. Or I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of speculating. But it's a really cool distinction now that I guess where this season might be going. It's just to answer the question, like, at least to define to Dororo what he is. It's like, what is it? And I think that's really cool.
Man.
Deep.
It gets there. And I feel like the story arc between him and his family is still unresolved. And the last thing we see with, I guess, Hyakkimaru's brother is like, you are now a demon to this village. Just right. Like, fuck.
And that made Holy him, shit. Yeah, made him think about himself. But like, his brother isn't tainted, right? He's not tainted.
No, he's very altruistic. He's a really loyal family member.
Right. And he's doing it for the land or for the people.
Yeah, land and the people.
But there's a point. Okay, so in one of the episodes, I think it was 13, where they go to this new land or something with Lord Sababe. Yeah. And he is also protecting his land by protecting the ghouls. So they're not monsters, but they're ghouls. Because like, I think they're like the moths or something.
Mm.
But because there is one of those moments where I could be wrong, but then I feel like I remember it, like where Hyakkimaru actually saw the monsters coming at him, but they were white, right? And there was no red in them, like the moths, but he had to kill them anyways, you know?
Right. It's a change in perspective. So when you see it from Hyakkimaru's eyes, you get this clear sense that he doesn't know if it's good or evil, but when you're watching, like, I guess from their eyes, he's kind of like the demon that's terrorizing the village.
Right. And I think it's also, you know, what Hyakkimaru was saying. It's like, I'm not going to let the demons go. So now it's not even about the color anymore sometimes. Like, he sees the monster moths as white, but he knows they're demons somewhat. Or like, he already decided that they're demons and he's going to kill them. Whoa. And that's why, like, Dororo was like, hey, like, I think he maybe chill, because like, maybe that's what makes you into a demon. So yeah, I think that's really cool. It's definitely showing the dichotomy of like evil and good, and everything in between. You know?
Yeah, it's changing a lot for me. I thought when I was watching the first season that it would, I guess, progress, but be very formulaic. But now I'm seeing that there's actually a lot more depth to the story.
Yeah, I really like it. I can't, because I'm pretty sure I watched the original ones with my sister too. I don't remember it. Now that we were watching the episodes, I was like, I don't remember that shit.
Okay. Well, it's good you have like selective amnesia, because now you can experience the story.
Yeah, right. I know there's movies. That's live action movies.
Oh, okay.
There was a video game, actually. Now I remember that shit too. There's a Dororo like video game.
Really? For what system?
PlayStation 2?
Holy shit.
Now everything's coming back. I don't know. I No, there's a game. Yeah.
I would definitely want to check it out, because I mean, it's an anime video game, but Dororo's been around for like 40, 50 years now.
Yeah, it's either PlayStation 2 or Dreamcast. It's one of those. I remember playing it as a bootleg.
Oh shit. If it's Dreamcast, then that is like dead on.
Yeah.
It's dead on arrival. Oh, right. Man. All right, so we are going to wrap up this episode for today. There's actually a lot more shows going on, but I guess we have to be selective with our time.
Right.
And you guys probably are selective with your time as well. But if there's any show that you're listening to, watching, if there's any that, I guess, suggestions that you do have, email us at animedropouts@gmail.com. If you ask us questions, we would love to read them during the podcast too.
Yeah, so thank you again, guys, for listening. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we love the continued support, and I guess we just love talking about anime.
Old anime heads to the younger ones, you know. Thanks for letting me know new anime.
All right. So until next time, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.